Welcome back. This is Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble. And we're talking about what makes a Nazi country tick. Not a real joyful type of subject, but something I think we should look at. And I promised you that I will go over some of the warning signs that I see in the United States. I'm not going to name names and stuff like that, and I won't call other people bad names. We're just going to talk about it. And some of the things that I've seen recently that scare me about where we're going. Now, remember, Nazi nations tend to move away from the truth. They tend to make up their own stories. They tend to do propagandizing. We have a lot of people right now in the United States that deny the Holocaust ever happened, despite what they see. And if you've ever, and I know in this modern day and age, you can actually make somebody look like they have done something really bad. I'm shocked at some of the new technology that we have, where you can take your face and put it on the body of somebody else, and it actually looks like it's you doing something really bad. And I understand that. So, like I said in the first hour, use your skeptical side and think about this. What I'm saying is not necessarily the full truth. I'm just saying what I'm seeing that scares me a little bit about our move towards a Nazi regime. We have people that deny the victory of the current president. And, you know, that's kind of what they did at the beginning of the Nazi regime in Germany. They said the person that was in charge was not really in charge. That kind of thing. We have people that deny to this day that the Metropolitan Police and the Capitol Police, when they had that riot on January 6th, they deny that police died. Now, they've made a martyr out of the woman that died, but the police that died, there are people that still claim that's not true, and yet we saw it. I mean, we saw the memorial. We saw what was going on. You got to use your skeptical side, because video can be made up, but it just seems too hard with too many people focusing on what was going on. Even the people that were there were videoing themselves doing things you might consider riotous. There are people that deny wearing a mask helps reduce the spread of COVID-19. We have people that imply that the vaccine for COVID-19 don't help at all, and they may even be traced or laced with tracking devices. Some of these far-fetched things, if you believe them, I think you need to go back, sit down in your closet, and think. Some of these things are just so outlandish, and I haven't gotten to the most outlandish. That I will mention at the end here. There are people that deny that January 6th even happened, that it was just a protest, that there was no riot at all. Obviously, they didn't see the same video I saw, but I'm sure they say that video was manufactured, okay? And that it wasn't an unlawful riot, which, in fact, they had a permit to have a protest, but it was at a far distant place, and it was not with weapons, and it was not with not on the Capitol building, not walking through the Capitol building, and not trying to hang Mike Pence. Now we're going to get to the crazy side. Some people are saying that people like me, liberals, drink children's blood. Gosh. Do you really believe that? It's hard for me to understand how anybody can really believe that. First of all, you would definitely be caught. I have not heard of any parent saying that they've lost their child and then found them drained of blood. You know, it's ludicrous to the nth degree. It's just absolutely nuts. Many don't believe we landed on the moon. There are all sorts of conspiracy theories about that one, too. There are conspiracy theories about, was John F. Kennedy killed? And that's where we're going now. There was a giant, well, not giant, but several hundred people showed up at the in Dallas at the grassy knoll where we all watched the president's brains being blown out. But they believed that JFK Jr. was going to, and we know that he died in an airplane crash over Martha's Vineyard, but not over, but in the water outside, around Martha's Vineyard. But there are people that believe that was not true, and they believe that he's been waiting in hiding to come back and appear and join with for our former president as his vice president for the 24 elections. Now, things like that, that's the type of thing that we're talking about when we're talking about the growth of Nazism in Germany, where it's anti-intellectual. Science be damned, right? You shouldn't believe your lying eyes, a type of an attitude that allowed Nazism to grow in Germany in the 30s. Anyway, I know that's directed specifically towards the Trump administration, but the Trump administration is not necessarily what it is. That's not the cause. That's just a symptom of where we may be heading, and who knows? Right now, it doesn't look like Mr. Biden's going to do that sort of thing, but who knows? Maybe the next president will, or for that matter, maybe Trump will come back in 24 and be able to take reins or something like that. So anyway, I'm going to allow you to sit and stew, and be mad at me. I'm spreading the word here. Don't be mad at your liberal next door neighbors or your friends. I'm the one that is concerned about that. I'm concerned of the direction of our government right now, or at least concerned of the direction of our government in the previous administration, which seems to be lingering because his particular party has become kind of a cult of a person as opposed to a political party. All right, well, that's enough bad talk, right? Let's talk about something fun. Well, it's not necessarily fun. It says it's right on the front of the book. The book says inspiration. So let's get off of the bad thoughts and move over to the inspiration. I still can't believe that people gathered at the grassy knoll waiting for JFK Jr. to return and say he's going to be vice president for Trump. That just but there were 600, 700, 800 people standing around the grassy knoll. I don't know what they thought when nothing happened. But nothing happened. Oh, well. I'm sure they will rationalize that, too. And that's another thing you got to do. Stop the rationalization, even in your own mind. If you are a liberal like me, there are things you rationalize that you should not rationalize. You have to think specifically about the facts. You have to be honest with yourself and people around you, of course, but be honest with yourself first and say, can this be a fact? Just about anything can be a fact, but most things you can tell are 99% not true, right? So I would go with your better angels that will tell you what's true and what is not true. All right, let's get to some of these inspirational quotes. Here's one from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Mr. Ziegler uses him in lots of quotes throughout this book. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. I love that. I've always felt, I've never had a problem with confidence. I'm sure you can tell that, right? Maybe a little overconfident. But I've never had that problem. But I know a lot of people that do have that problem. People, members of my family, are not confident. My wife is a college graduate, very high in her class, very brilliant woman, but she's not confident all the time about her, where she stands. And I have a daughter-in-law like that. But most of my direct children are a little, shall we say, cocky. My eldest son is cocky beyond belief. My daughter, pretty much what she says is what she believes. And my youngest son, he might be the smartest of the bunch of us. He knows what he knows, but he doesn't tell you. He just does what he thinks is right. So we have some cocky people in the Coble family. I'm sorry. All right, let's move on. In a time of drastic change, it is learners who inherit the future. The learned usually find themselves equipped to live in a world that no longer exists. Which brings to mind, and that was a quote by Eric Hoffer. Now, when we're talking about living in a world, the learned usually find themselves equipped to live in a world that no longer exists. We're looking at climate change. What are you going to do? Now, I'm not going to be around in 40 years, but you might, and your children will, and your grandchildren definitely will. What are they going to do when there's no place to live? When the water has lapped up to the borders of Ohio. Well, no, they're not going to get past the mountains that quickly. But lapped up, covered the state of Virginia and North Carolina, and Florida is underwater. And, you know, what are they going to do? I guess they move. It will get a lot tighter here. We'll all live and hold hands because we'll be a lot closer. But being a learner will help your future. And that's all he's saying. Learning is important. Now, I used to think that was BS being told to me by my parents to make me go to school. But the older I get, the more I like to learn, and the more I do learn, the better I feel about myself and the people around me. And I think if you find that your learning helps you, you should continue to learn. I, at 75, would like to learn until I'm on my deathbed, I suppose. And even then, I may learn something. Maybe. What do you think? I remember my sister when she was dying. She said to my brother, she said, I'm going to beat you there. And I thought, what is she talking about? Well, quickly I realized what she was talking about. She was going to beat us to the pearly gates. My sister was an immense Christian. She was what Christians should be. She was not an evangelical. She was a old line Methodist religious woman who lived, probably the best person I ever knew in my life, as far as character goes. And But she was learning on her deathbed that she could go away and it would be okay. So anyway, think about things, learn about things, try to get your family to learn. We have an awful lot of people that are so lazy that they just want to go home and watch TV. I know working a job sometimes can be really torturous, especially if you hate the people you work with and you hate the type of job you're doing. Maybe you ought to think about finding a new job. I know it's not easy. It's easy to say that. It's not easy to find a new job. But keep your eyes open, because something might pop up. And if you really learn, if you're learning, maybe you can find something in a new field. You might have to start a little lower on salary, but you'll move up immensely fast if you love what you do, because everybody around you will know that you love what you do and will know that you're getting better and better at it. So think about that. Faith believes in spite of the circumstances and acts in spite of the consequences. That's Adrian Rogers. That's a quote for my religious friends. I'm a person much like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think faith is something you have if you can't prove it, you know? And if there are no ways to prove something, well, let's put it this way. A lot of people, when back in the, 1400s, 1500s, believed the earth was flat. And because they knew no better. So I'm not a big fan of the word faith. My father used it a lot. And most Christians use it a lot, because you have to have faith because you can't prove what you're believing in. Now, and I know a lot of people are sitting out there right now absolutely yelling at the radio, I know that I can prove it, but they prove it by thinking that they've heard the word in their brains, and that's good. I'm glad that you're comfortable with that. And if you are comfortable with that, stay with it, and tell people like me that we're crazy. You know, that's all there is. All right, men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. Now, that is really what I'm talking about. Don't be unwilling to improve yourself. Even if you're 75 years old, 80 years old, improve yourself. Try to find things that you can do that will improve yourself. If nothing else, it'll make you feel better about yourself. But most of the time, if you feel better about yourself, people around you will also feel better about you and will be happier for you. And if they're happy for you, you'll become more happy for yourself. And one of the reasons why I'm pretty confident is I always had a mom and a sister who had immense faith in me. Even when I was lying to them, they had immense faith in me. They would let me know that they knew I was telling them a fib. It wasn't like they, oh, isn't he a cute little boy? They would let me know that they didn't believe me, but they had immense faith that I would do the right thing if I had to. All right? Life begins when you do. That's a quote from Hugh Downs. Life begins when you do. Nothing happens while you're asleep. I mean, at least to you it doesn't happen. It may be happening around you, but life begins when you do. You need to begin your life to make it keep going. And also, if you begin your life, in other words, if you take charge and start doing things for your life, then your life will be better, and therefore life begins when you do. Anything worth doing, now everybody has heard this one, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you learn to do it well. I love that one. In other words, he's saying, you're not going to be an expert when you start doing something. You're not even going to know what you're doing when you start doing something. But after you do it and you have several mistakes, and after you do it and you have several victories, you will get better. And as you get better, you'll get better and better and better. So anything worth doing is worth doing poorly, at least to start with, until you learn to do it well. Love that. I love that. Believe me, yours truly has done an awful lot of things very poorly. I have done some things very well, too, but I've done probably a lot more poorly. Oh, my. Great minds have purposes. Others have wishes. Okay, that's what Washington Irving said that. Great minds have purposes. Others have wishes. If you have a purpose to move in a direction, not just a wish, wishes don't get anything done. Wishes a little bit like faith, right? It's not solid. But purposes tend to be more solid. My purpose is to make more people less angry with each other. That's a purpose I have, a purpose to make people appreciate other people, whether they're white, brown, black, gay, transgender, whatever they are. My purpose in life now is to make us all find a way to get together. And I don't mean in a very, phony way. I mean truly. Look at somebody and say, I like that guy, or I like that woman, or I like that child. You know, it's hard not to like kids anyway. You can't be a smart cookie if you have a crummy attitude. John Maxwell said that. That's kind of fun. You can't be a smart cookie if you have a crummy attitude. Attitude, I have been told all my life, your attitude is what you are. And, you know, when I was younger, I thought, oh, that's BS. But as I got older, I realized sometimes you may not have anything but attitude. When I knew I was getting crushed in my election, I still had an attitude. My attitude was, okay, maybe you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm going to say it anyway because I believe it's true. And I believe you should think it's true. Or at least I think you should think about it. And so I believe now that attitude is very, very, very important. Great strength comes from within, not from without. That was Mark Bowser said that. You have to build it up from inside. You have to find the courage to have great strength inside. You can't have courage from outside. That's intimidation. People can intimidate you to do something. Only you can do it full-throatedly. We are free up to a point of choice. Then the choice controls the chooser. A little bit vague in its statement. That was Mary Crowley. I'm going to just leave that for you to think about. We are free up to the point of choice. Then the choice controls the chooser. We're kind of at a time now where we're having lots of people scream, freedom! I want freedom! Well, you can choose freedom, but you better know what freedom means then. Does freedom mean that, right now they're talking about having open carry in New York City. What does that mean? Does that mean somebody can walk down the street and blow you away? Yeah, it does. And there are people that are not very nice people that will be allowed to carry their gun openly and just... We may get to a point where it's going to take having gun battles at the OK Corral in New York City to control a little bit of this. Knowing thyself is the height of wisdom. That is one of the things that I've tried to do all my life. I've tried to find out what makes me tick. What makes you tick, I can never find out. I'm not inside your brain. A lot of people think they know what makes you tick. I call them fools because I don't believe anybody can know what makes somebody else tick. What makes somebody else do what they do. Only you know what you do. Only you know why you're doing it. That's another thing I like to tell a lot of my friends. Measure your own, what's making you do what you're doing. Measure your own, what's the word I'm looking for? I've lost it. Anyway, measure yourself, because knowing thyself is the height of wisdom. That means you know exactly where you are coming from. Motivation. You know what your motivation is. If you don't know what your motivation is, then you're just kind of freewheeling it, aren't you? You're just out there kind of with no purpose, no direction. You're just freewheeling it if you don't know yourself. Most people who fail in their dreams fail not from the lack of ability, but from the lack of commitment. That's true. And now, that was one of the reasons why I failed at politics. I did not have a commitment to win that. Had I had a commitment to win that position, I would have done a lot more things, a lot better. But I wasn't good at it. So I'm sad that I didn't win that election, but I would have only won that election had it been a miracle, because I didn't really commit to it. I'd walked and I knocked on doors and stuff like that, but in my heart, well, I kept giving myself the excuse, Ohio is a Republican state and I don't have much of a chance here. I always said I don't have much of a chance because, you know, you never could tell. Something may happen. Lightning may strike. Anyway, I think I was right, and I think I would have been the best person for the job, even to this day. As a matter of fact, stronger, since I've watched the person who won that office move along. But I was not committed, so therefore I did not get it, right? I'm not sure if I had been fully committed I would have gotten it, but I sure would have gotten a lot closer than I did. When you have a choice and don't make it, that is a choice in itself. William James said that. When you have a choice and you don't make it, that is in itself a choice. And in fact, it is. A choice not to do something is a choice, that you didn't do anything. If you see a kid riding a bicycle in the street and there's a car coming and you just stand there and the kid gets hit by the car, that was a choice you made. Not a good choice. The least you could have done is scream at him. But a choice that when you make a choice and don't, or when you have a choice and you don't make it, that in itself is a choice. Action conquers fears. Well, sometimes that's true. Action conquers fears. Sometimes it doesn't conquer it. It just moves it, right? I'm not a believer that you can always, there's always a solution. I am not a believer in that. Adversity is the first path to truth. Interesting. That's by George Gordon Byron. Adversity is the first path to truth. Sometimes you don't know how to get to the truth of the facts if it's too easy. I guess that's saying. If if you can become a doctor and you don't have to study for it, you probably won't become a very good doctor. But the adversity of going to college, the adversity of going to medical school, the adversity of having to learn all that stuff, whew, that's why I did not do it. That's also why my eldest son did not. He went in to college thinking he was going to be a doctor, and the adversity was just too much. But the path, the adversity is the path to truth. If you can find the adversity and walk down that path, you'll find the truth. Money is merely a reward for solving problems. I've often thought that that was a good way to look at things. Money is not, well, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It does not say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. At least in my version, it does. You know, I wonder how many different versions there are of the Bible. You know, Jefferson wrote his own version of the Bible. I've touched on it. I've read a few bits of it. Kind of interesting. Not very biblically sound, but I'm not sure anything is biblically sound anyway. Where was I going? Oh, the money thing. Money is merely a reward for solving problems. That's pretty much true. Money doesn't truly mean you're... If you have $1 billion, that doesn't mean you're a better person than I am. Matter of fact, how you got that $1 billion may say that you're a far worse person than I am. My wife has a bad habit of saying, well, he's filthy rich, so he must be corrupt. Now, I'm not sure that's always true, but money is really only a tool. It doesn't mean you're better than I am because you have $1 billion and I have 20. I may be a far better person than you are. It's how you use that. You know, using money is just a tool. If I quite often put myself to sleep when I'm having a hard time sleeping by dreaming about winning the lottery. I get $150 million. Well, actually, in my dream, I get $300 million, and I have to pay the taxes, which is $150 million. So I only have, well, maybe $170 million. And I try to figure out what I'll do with it. And I find great pleasure in giving $1 million to the local food pantry, putting up those little houses for the homeless in maybe in Columbus. I really think if I had a lot of money, I would be able to use it well. But the only way I'm going to get a lot of money is if I win the lottery. And since I don't play the lottery, I doubt that I'll ever be very wealthy. The deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. I've often wondered, truly wondered, why I'm in radio and why, you know, I'm not paid, so it's not the money. I've been in radio most of my life doing things that I'm hardly paid for. For 18 years, I was in athletics, working 60 to 100 hours a week. And if you figured out what I was being paid per hour, it wasn't very good. Money isn't what really motivated me. I was lucky enough I crave the appreciation. I liked having people say, hey, that's Glenn Coble. He's good at what he does. I like listening to him broadcast. I like what he does for my basketball team, you know, that type of thing. I liked having the appreciation for what I was doing. And the neatest thing about what I did, especially back when I was in athletics, is I had, you know, 20 to 40 students, bright. They were all bright, bright young people, helping me out, but not only helping me out, teaching me. I have one young man, Scott Bova. I know him to this day. I Facebook friends with him. We don't talk, but we're Facebook friends with each other. Scott used to question just about everything I did. You think that's really right, Mr. Coble? I'm trying to think. The one thing... Oh, we talked about, do you think all politicians should rule or make rules for their constituents, or they should they make rules based on their own personal judgments, you know, like should you make a rule that says all people should be protected from having no food, or should you make a rule that your constituents say those people shouldn't get food? You know, so we would go round and round about that, but I learned a lot from listening to those 21-year-old, 22-year-old graduate students that helped me out, and I had a lot of them around me, and a lot of them I still remember, and a lot of them I'm still in touch with, especially now that we have Facebook. There are some good things about Facebook, right? Yeah. Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. And I've always believed that. You lead by example. If I want you to be a strong advocate for climate change, for improving climate change, I better do it myself. I better get out there and recycle my cans. I better get out there and stop using so much plastic. Those type of things. And I believe that that is the heart of teaching other people. You teach them by example. They can choose or choose not to go along with your example, but that's the only way. Otherwise, you become nothing more than just a hypocritical person that is telling people what to do. So, lead by example. That was Albert Schweitzer said that, by the way. You know who he is, right? It is neither wealth nor splendor, but tranquility and occupation which give happiness. Thomas Jefferson said that. Now, how often has that happened to you where you go up to Lake Erie, or you go to the ocean, or you go to the mountains, and you go, oh, you feel so relieved because you're looking at beauty, and it's so tranquil, it's quiet. As a matter of fact, when I walk my puppy dog at night, at close to midnight, and there is no sound, not even the trains. Now, usually there are, but there are nights where there is no wind and no trains, no cars, because it's so late. And my puppy dog and I really enjoy the quiet and tranquility of that. And it does give me happiness, even on my sore knee. And I'm having bad arthritis right now, so that kind of overwhelms me in just about every area. Chop your own wood and it will warm you twice. Henry Ford said that. Kind of an interesting man, Henry Ford. I'm not a big fan of Henry Ford because he was pretty anti-labor and pretty he was kind of a racist, and but he was a smart man. There's no doubt about that. And I have driven Fords all my life, so I guess I shouldn't dislike the man. I don't dislike him. I don't know enough about him to like him or dislike him. I would like to go back and sit at a table having lunch with him and talk. I think maybe then I might know a little bit better. Maybe I'm a fool for believing some of the things I have believed about Henry Ford. A loving person lives in a loving world. A hostile person lives in a hostile world. Everyone you meet is your mirror. It's kind of an interesting statement. I guess that's saying if you're loving, they will be loving back to you. And if you're hostile, they'll be hostile back to you. I can see that. I'm not sure I find that terribly deep. But that was said by Ken Keyes. I don't know who Ken Keyes is, but here's an anonymous one. I know who anonymous is. Input influences outlook. Outlook influences output. And output determines outcome. Use that out thing way too much. But input influences outlook. Okay, your input. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to let you try to figure that one out yourself, okay? This one was a statement by Helen Keller, and she must have been a really smart cookie because she has a lot of quotes in here. And as I've told you before, I really follow quotes. And just about every book and every article I read has more than one Helen Keller quote in it. Whoop, police car just went by. I hope it's not bad news. All that we love deeply becomes part of us. Isn't that true? All that we love deeply becomes part of us. If we really love it, we take it into our heart and it starts adjusting what we do. It can be a puppy dog. It can be the beauty of a scene in your backyard. It can be your summer cottage. If we love it deeply, it does become part of us. And that's one of the things that's so nice about living this life. We carry all that with us. Now, I look back, as I've told you before, I'm 75 years old, and I look back on things that I did when I was in my 30s, and I feel like it was just the other day. I really do. I mean, it's not that long ago. I know it was a long time ago, but when I start adding up that it was 50 years ago, 50 years ago I was 26 or 25, when I think, that was 50 years ago that I did that? Well, my wife and I are getting close. We're about a month away from our 52nd anniversary. And it just can't be. It just can't be. All right. Let's continue on. That one's too long. Take me an hour to read that one to you. A vision is a clearly articulated, results-oriented picture of future that you intend to create. It is a dream with direction. Oh, this is not going to be good if I'm going to get hiccups while I'm reading stuff to you. That was said by Jesse Stoner Zemel. I don't know if Stoner was truly his middle name or whether he just took it up. A vision is a clearly articulated, results-oriented picture of a future you intend to create. Yeah, I can see that. Many times, I don't know if you've ever been in the business world, I have, you will go to meetings where you're going to, they want you to have a vision of the future of your corporation or your company or your team or whatever. There are all sorts of words that they use to avoid saying the guys that work with you, teams. They always want you to articulate what's going to happen. Most of the time, you sit there and you say something that sounds good, but you don't know what you're saying, right? Have you ever been there sitting around that round table? Everybody says all these really fancy things. They're all kind of looking side-eyed at the boss, trying to find out if the boss thinks what they're saying is really smart or not. I think you have to be careful developing visions for your company. Now, if you have one, that's worth gold. If you truly have a vision that you think could be worked for your company, make sure that you get that out there. Tell somebody about it. We all need our companies to get better. We've got plenty of bad companies around. So tell somebody what your good vision is for your company. Until you commit your goals to paper, you have intentions that are seeds without soil. Now, I find that to be true, but I also understand I've had people tell me that's nuts. I don't have to write it down. I have it in my brain. I'm the type of person that doesn't remember, and it's not because I'm 75. When I was 25, I didn't remember stuff either. I have to write it. I can't tell you how many of those big yellow pads that I filled up, and I still have them. And sometimes I'll look back at them, what an idiotic thought that was. But if I put it down, at least I could go back and look at it and say, what an idiot I was. Or I can go back and say, hey, this might work. Now, a lot of them I still have are great ideas that I just didn't act on. That's on me. That's my fault. But if I do write it down, I really find that
You're listening to WWG LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From presidential nominee, the man with the